Good morning, Orchard Church. It's good to be with you this morning. Normally, we would have Harry or Grumbelina here to start our worship service off, but they're on vacation this week, so I'm going to do my best to fill in for them. Let's say a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for the great pastor and pastor's wife and children that we've been blessed with. Please give them a refreshing vacation and help them to come back recharged and ready to lead our church. We thank you for all the blessings that you give us. In Jesus' name, amen. How can we live a life of faith in this chaotic world today? Seems like everywhere that you turn, you've got people pulling you in one direction or another. And if we don't stay grounded in our faith, it's easy to get pulled off the path. I'm sure everybody knows that the most purchased and read book of all time is the Bible. But what you might not know is that the second most read book is a book called Pilgrim's Progress, which was written by John Bunyan back in 1677 when he was in prison. And it's a story about a man named Christian, and he reads the Bible and becomes convicted of his sins, and he starts out on a quest to reach the celestial city. And a man called Evangelist points him in the right direction, and he runs into different challenges along the way. He falls into a swamp, and he's captured by a giant at one point, and he has a battle with a demon called Apollyon. And he and a friend named Hopeful, at one point towards the end of their journey, they can see the celestial city off in the distance, and they're going towards it. And then there, this older gentleman appears, and he's fairly tall and thin, and he's got a long white beard, and he's a hooded cape and everything. And he starts chatting with them and really complimenting them on how great of a person that they are and how smart they are. And he says he knows a better way to get there. And so he starts leading them. And at one point they say, well, aren't we sort of going off in the wrong direction? Oh, don't worry. I know a better way to get there. And they keep on going, and he's praising. He asks them about the different situations that they were in, how he battled Apollyon and the giant, how they escaped from the giant, and really flatters them a lot. And as they're going along, all of a sudden, they step at a spot, and both of them are snatched up into the air with this great big net. And then the man that they thought was their friend reveals himself, and he's a man called the Flatterer, and he was sent there to draw them off their course to get to the celestial city. And he leaves them there to die. But fortunately, the king of the celestial city sends somebody to release them from that net and sends them back on their way, and they eventually reach their destination. And that's a great story about the Christian life. We have people coming into our lives from all different directions trying to draw us off into sins and confuse us. And so we need to stay grounded in the Word of God if we want to, you know, continue on that narrow path to the celestial city. So today we're looking at Colossians chapter 2. We're going to go all the way through Colossians 3:17. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those in Laodicea and for all who have not seen me in person. I want their hearts to be encouraged and joined together in love, so that they may have all the riches of assured understanding and have the knowledge of God's mystery, Christ. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in him. I am saying this so that no one will deceive you with persuasive arguments. For I may be absent in body, but I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see how well ordered you are and the strength of your faith in Christ. Back then, there was two different heresies that were trying to invade the church. There was the Judaizers, who tried to convince people that in order to be a believer, that you had to go back and be circumcised and then go under the law of Moses and live by a list of do's and don'ts. And then there was the Gnostics, who believed that Christ was not the literal Son of God, that you could attain godhood yourself by becoming wiser and more knowledgeable and accessing secret wisdom that was out there. And that was also trying to invade the Colossian church. We can see a lot of those two heresies in the world today. You know, we've got, with the Judaizers, we've got a number of religions that say that you have to do, you have to earn your way to heaven. You have to follow a list of do's and don'ts. And then you have like the New Age influence that's in our world today, where there are many people that believe that they can, you know, essentially evolve and become godlike themselves. Both of those are false. Our only way of salvation is through putting our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's what Paul was trying to warn them against. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, overflowing with gratitude. So how can we live a life of faith in this chaotic world? By putting our trust in the finished work of Jesus on the cross and not putting trust in ourselves. So let's look at a couple of those phrases in verse 6. Let's think about walk in him. In order to stay firm in our faith, we need to walk in the Lord. And that means daily we need to spend time in prayer. We need to spend time reading our Bibles and meditating on what is being taught. And by meditation, I don't mean clearing your mind. It's taking the time and going through verse by verse and really breaking down what the Lord is saying to us and really trying to understand what he wants us to understand. And we need to be rooted in him. So in my yard, up until recently, we had a white pine tree, and it was well over 100 feet tall. It was a massive tree. And we would have storms raging through from time to time, and that tree stood firm and didn't budge because it had roots that went deep into the ground and wide across my whole yard, holding it firm. And so that's how our faith needs to be. We need to put our trust in the Lord, and we need to go deep into his word and help, you know, allow him to work in our lives and help us to grow to be more godly people. Be careful that no one holds you captive through philosophy, empty deceit based on human tradition, based on the elemental forces of the world, and not based on Christ. So, for the entire fullness of God's nature dwells bodily in Christ, and you have been filled with him, who is the head over every ruler and authority. You were also circumcised in him with a circumcision not done with hands, by putting off the body of flesh in circumcision of the Messiah. Having been buried with him in baptism, you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And when you were dead in trespasses and in your uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive with him and forgave us all our trespasses. He erased the certificate of death with its obligations that was against us and opposed to us, and has taken it out of the way by nailing it to the cross. So I like the analogy of baptism there. We were dead in our sins, and baptism symbolizes when the pastor brings you down under the surface of the washer, us dying to our sins. And then when he brings us up, we're raised again to new life. You know, many people that you talk to today, you know, if you talk to them about things of faith, may say, well, I think I'm a good person. You know, and they don't see their sin. And, you know, I have often thought, you know, how many times we do sin in a day, but let's just say that we only sin one time a day, just one time a day. In the course of a year, that's 365 sins. Now, one sin a day doesn't sound so bad, but 365, that's more. That's a lot more, but still, it doesn't seem like that much. Now, we know that we all sin far more times than one a day, you know, by, with our thoughts and our words and our deeds. But I'll be 70 years old in this coming December. And if I just sinned one time a day, every day for my whole lifetime, that comes out to 25,550 sins. If I just sin one time a day. And it's far, far more than that. And Christ paid for our sins with his death on the cross. And he wiped out that certificate of death that we have. So when we stand before a judgment someday, and we stand before the Father, Jesus steps in front of us, and when the Father looks at us, he sees the purity of Jesus, and all of our sins are wiped away. So he disarmed the rulers and authorities and disgraced them publicly. He triumphed over them by him. Therefore, don't let anyone judge you in regard to food and drink and the matter of festivals and new moons or the Sabbath day. These are a shadow of what was to come. The substance is the Messiah. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on ascetic practices and worship of angels, claiming access to visionary realm and the inflated without cause by his unscriptural mind. He doesn't hold on to the head from whom the whole body, nourished and held together by its ligaments and tendons, develops without growth. How can we live a life of faith in this chaotic world? We do so by putting our trust in the finished work of Christ on the cross and not in our own works. So here in this section, who is the head that he's talking about? The head is Jesus. We're the body of Christ. And when we let Christ work through us, we're a functioning body. But if we try and do things on our own and we eliminate Christ as our head, we're flailing around and we'll die. We can't live as a church without Christ as our head. So if you died with the Messiah to the elemental forces of this world, why do you live as though you still belong to the world? Why do you submit to regulations? Don't handle, don't taste, don't touch. All these regulations refer to what is destroyed by being used up. They are commands and doctrines of men. Although these have a reputation of wisdom by promoting ascetic practices, humility, and severe treatment of the body, they are not of any value in curbing self-indulgence. There have been people in the past that have tried to inflict pain on their bodies, you know, crawling on their hands and knees or you know, for long distances to, and, you know, bringing sores on their knees and all kinds of things, trying to earn God's favor when that's not necessary. We cannot do enough good works to make a difference. We have to put our trust in Christ and his finished work on the cross. That's the only thing that's going to make any difference for us. So if you've been raised without the Messiah, seek what is above. Where the Messiah is, seated at the right hand of God, set your minds on what is above, not what is on the earth. for you have died, and your life is hidden with the Messiah in God. When the Messiah, who is your life, is revealed, then you will be revealed with him in glory. So instead of trying to earn our way to heaven, we need to set our minds, and again, that's referring to spending time in prayer, reading our Bibles, you know, striving earnestly to grow closer to him and to find his will for us in our life. So how can we live a life of freedom in this chaotic world? By putting our trust in the finished work of Christ on the cross and not on our own good works. Therefore, put to death what belongs to your worldly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, God's wrath comes on the disobedient. And you once walked in these things when you were living in them. But now you must also put away the following: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and filthy language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self. You are being renewed in knowledge according to the image of your Creator. In Christ there is no Greek or Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. So, can we put away those, that large list of sins by ourselves? No, we can't. But when we're constantly renewing our minds, when we're constantly in God's word and in prayer, over the course of time, Christ reveals different sins in our lives and helps us overcome it and helps us to move on so that we can become a more godly man or woman. So therefore, God's chosen ones, holy and loved, put on heartfelt compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, accepting one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must forgive them. So after he helps us start to move away from the sins that are in our life, he also will bring some of these other good qualities like compassion and gentleness and patience and kindness. So during the whole course of our life, just like with Christian going through his life, as we keep on walking that narrow path towards the celestial city, Christ helps us to grow and become stronger and better Christians and gives us the opportunities to reach out to people and to help other people and show them the way. So how can we live a life of freedom and faith in this chaotic world? By putting our trust in the finished work of Christ on the cross and not in our own works or deeds. So finally, above all, put on love, the perfect bond of unity, and let the peace of the Messiah, to which you were also called in one body, control your hearts. Be thankful. Let the message about the Messiah dwell richly among you, teaching you and admonishing one another in all wisdom, and singing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. In conclusion, don't put your trust in yourself. Put your trust in the finished work of God. Amen.